You're listening to the Toolstation Western League podcast with Ian Knuckles and Tom Hiscott.
Welcome, listeners, to episode 9 of the Toolstation Western League podcast with me, Ian Knuckles, and I am delighted to welcome onto the line, it is the editor of the Toolstation Western League Bulletin, Mr. Tom Hiscott. Hello, Tom, how are you?
I'm doing great, yeah. How about yourself?
Well, apart from massive technological breakdowns all over the place, I'm absolutely fine. At least we've managed to talk, which is good, because that means that obviously we're getting a podcast out this week, and whether or not it's going to include any guests, only time will tell.
But fingers crossed.
Yes, if I can make the box of tricks work, then we will be speaking to Dean Cardew, the manager of Torpoint Athletic, and we will also be speaking to Kai Mountford, the manager of Division One Leaders Portishead Town. But we're going to kick things off. In fact, actually, we are going to kick things off in the First Division and with a little bit of Friday night football and a Bristol derby of sorts. Shirehampton took on Keynsham Town. 7 goals in this one, Tom, but it was a bit of a one-sided affair.
It was, yeah. So Shirehampton running out 6-1 winners. I quite enjoyed, There was an interesting weekend where we had sort of league matches and Les Phillips games and obviously the Vars taking precedence, but quite a few different competitions sprinkled in. And yeah, there was a First Division game Friday night, and it did go the way of the home side. 6-1 win for Shirehampton over Keynsham. Louis Snellham, he scored a hat-trick for the home side, striking late in the first half to get his game up and running. Anyway, Scott Bamford had already scored a brace inside the opening half, and yeah, they were 4-0 up at half-time, so it was pretty much game, set, and match at that point. And then, yes, as I say, Snellham scoring twice more after the break to complete his treble. So a fantastic result for Shirehampton to get their weekend kick-started on Friday.
Also, Les Phillips Cup action on Friday night. A good win for Bridgewater United away at Clevedon Town, which may well be a statement of intent for their league season. We'll have to wait and see. But we will move ahead to Saturday, the 23rd of September. A couple of games in the Premier Division. And Brixham AFC, they continue their good run of form, Tom, at home to Oldland Abertonians.
Yeah, another dominant winner. 5-0 victory for Brixham on Saturday. Scott Robinson breaking deadlock after half an hour, so it took a while to get going, considering they did score 5. But yeah, twice more they broke through at the end of the first half. Kieran Park and then Sean Adderley, so a 3-goal buffer at the interval, and it didn't really look back from then. Jaden Maslin making it 4-0, and then Charlie Hansen putting the cap on the win late on. So yeah, 5-0 win for Brixham, and Oldland, gotta start turning things around, I would say.
And another relatively one-sided affair, Buckland Athletic, a very good win away at St Blasey.
Yeah, absolutely. Another side to keep a clean sheet and a win. So it's good stuff from Buckland. Sam State setting them on their way. Lobbed finish after 20 minutes or so. So that was a good start for them. And then it was Jared Lewington scoring twice after the break to give the Cornish side all 3 points. So yeah, 3-0 win for Buckland over St Blasey.
And in the First Division, your team, Odd Down, they had a very good win against High Flying Cribbs Reserves.
Yeah, my local side starting to turn things around. 3 wins on the bounce. So, yeah, it's looking up for the Odd Down, which is good, up the down. And it was, it was 1-1 at half-time. But then, they were the better side after the break. And a couple of goals, one the first from substitute Alfie Andrews. And then it was Dominic Walters scoring the third. So that was another good win for Odd Down, beating Cribbs Reserves 3-1.
Now we move on to the meat and drink of this week's episode of the podcast. And we're talking about the FA Vars second round qualifying. And Brislington, they were at home to a team that they beat to the First Division title last season, a team that got promoted as runners-up, Nailsy and Tickenham. But it was the visitors who came away with the win here, Tom.
Yeah, absolutely. I remembered that. That's when I was looking through the results, I was thinking, I'm sure they did have plenty of battles towards the end of last year. And it was, as you say, Nailsy and Tickenham that came out on top in the Vars on Saturday. 3-2 victory. They're much stronger in the first half, leading by 2 goals thanks to Lucas Vowles and Callum Dunn. But yeah, as we know from Brissenden, they're very rarely kept at bay, aren't they? And they managed to forge their way back into the game. A couple of goals around the hour mark made it two apiece. But it was the Swags who stole it late on. Nick Buxton scoring the decisive fifth goal, and it's them who move on to the next round.
Certainly is. Now then, Bristol Telephones against Portishead Town, two First Division sides. Of course, Portishead have been in imperious form. We all know that. And Bristol Telephones, solid as always, very difficult to beat. But really, the form book would suggest this should have been a bit of a cakewalk for the league leaders. But it wasn't, was it, Tom?
No, absolutely not. This was, as tight as they come. It was reliant on penalties that Portishead progressed to the next round, finding themselves behind in this one. Phone starting the better, and it was Portishead having to call on that man, Ethan Feltham. His arrival from the bench, instant impact. Nottingham's 23rd of the campaign. I feel like we do talk about him every week, and I'm pretty sure I saw on social media that he's agreed to stay at the club for the rest of the season. I'm sure there was plenty of interest from elsewhere when you're banging in the goals like he is. But he's staying at Portishead, and that's obviously going to be crucial for their promotion push, you'd imagine. He got them level, as I say, early in the second half. Callum Townsend then firing home to complete their turnaround. But they were pegged back again, and they were pretty late on, and that sent the game to penalties. But it should have been easy going, but it wasn't, as you say. But on the pens, it was Townsend again scoring the decisive kick and sending them through to the next round. So the phones, unfortunately, cut short.
Well, that was all of the excuse I needed to get hold of Kai Mountford, the manager of Portishead Town. I had a nice chat with Kai when we went and did the bucket collection for Somerset Mind at Portishead a couple of weeks ago. So it felt like it was a good time to get him on the podcast. And we started by discussing Kai's reflections on that FA Vars game against Bristol Telephones.
It was a very tough game. I thought Telephones probably the better side in the first half, and then in the second half we made a few changes and sort of the stronger, but really, really tough game, and it's a lottery, so we managed to edge out. But yeah, real tough game, mate, and I'm happy that we managed to sneak through, really.
Because you've been on an excellent run of form recently, and I wonder whether an arm wrestle like that was perhaps what you needed just to sort of bring the boys back down to earth.
Yeah, we've been doing okay. We've been doing really well. And like I said, I think the previous managers said it before on here, it is a league that every team can beat anyone. It is, and Telephones are, like, with the manager, John, he's a great manager. Great experience and done well wherever he's gone, and it was a real tough game, and like I said, we were just lucky we managed to win the lottery at the end. It was the lads find it tough, and we made a few changes because of the games, obviously, that every team in our league has to do in such a short space. So it was happy that we managed to. Sneak through, but real tough game, mate. Yeah.
Now, in one of those peculiar turns of fate that only the fixture computer can generate, you've managed to get Telephones up again this week.
Tomorrow, mate, at our place in the league. Like I said, we're planning out, especially after Saturday, we're planning for another tough task, mate. Yeah, it'll be another. Hopefully another good game to watch for neutral, but strong side we're up against, so will be really tough.
Well, let's turn our attention back to the Vars, because obviously the draw has been made, and you've got Saltash up next. Now, that's an interesting challenge. They're obviously not the side that came runners up in the Premier Division last season, but I mean, Radstock found out that you can't underestimate Saltash, particularly at their place, because you will come unstuck. I mean, Saltash are the sort of side that I guess you must have aspirations to be playing in the future. We'll talk about that later in the interview. But are you excited by the prospect of that trip in the next round of the Vars?
Yeah. It's good. I prefer it to be home, obviously. But it's good. they're the teams, like you rightly said, they're the teams that we want to be playing in the league. So to go down there again is the FA balls is in teams in higher leagues than us is a sort of free one for us, because obviously we're some actually be favourites and rightly so. And so it's we get to go down there with sort of no pressure and get to play in a game where hopefully we can do as well as we can against some higher opposition. Good club. I've played down there a few times and the people are quite friendly. So yeah, so it'd be a good trip for the lads. Yeah.
Now I've seen you a couple of times this season. I saw you at Radstock where I think you were unlucky to not come away with anything from that game. And I saw you against Wells where you were the better side again, but they did they posed some questions for you. So it's been an interesting season for you. Well, certainly an interesting start to the season. What have you made of it?
It's been excellent. I can't fault the lads and everyone at the club really since I took over in June, I think it was. I think we've been lost one, drew one. That Radstock game being the loss that you mentioned, but the lads have been superb. The group we got together, we made 10, 11 signings. I made when coming in, so to win most of the games and to play the football like we do is very pleasing at the moment. But it's very early days. And like I said, it's a long season.
You mentioned obviously you took over in June. I mean, what was it about the Portishead project that attracted you?
Well, I live here. It's always nice. And I played, but sort of when I left Poulton, I sort of left and was going to retire at my age. And then Eamon, the manager, was like, come play and sort of local and just sort of help us out when you can. And then so I ended up playing obviously last season for Portishead and when I could, just as a player. And then the whole club sort of sat me down and sort of pushed me to take the job. So because it's like I said, being local, both my girls play for the girls section here. I live a minute's walk away from the ground, and I really feel like a huge town, and the club's obviously not matched that up in recent years with the growing population. So, it was I had a few people, a few good managers ring me and say, don't do it. What are you doing? But it is. I think there's here, and I love the club. Lived there 14 years now, and I'm real good people behind the committee, the chairman Edie, Nigel, who runs the club, and everyone, all the volunteers are amazing. So I sort of felt a bit I owe them to do it, if that makes sense.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because certainly in my years of covering Western League football, Portishead haven't always been the most fashionable club, but actually, what you're achieving on the pitch at the moment has really made the rest of the league stand up and take note. I mean, I don't know, is that a blessing or a curse? Because if you were hoping to go under the radar this season, it doesn't appear that you're going to achieve that.
No, it's a curse. Yeah, it definitely is a curse for me. I'd rather stay sort of under the radar and sort of go about your business quietly. But it doesn't look that way, and I think it's like I said, everyone will be coming up against us. We'll be bringing our A game, and rightly so. But then on the flip side is worn out wins and stuff like that. Like the lads have put out performances, really good ones, and it's a credit to all the group. The 22 we have in the squad is I never imagined we would be where we are at this time, nowhere near that. So they deserve the plaudits mainly.
So you say you never envisaged that you'd be where you are, But what were your expectations going into this season?
So we finished, Eamon finished 13th, I think, last year. And to beat that was the aim, or is the aim, I should say. So long as we, and sort of just bring the sort of profile of the club up, was sort of the main thing, with crowds and people coming to watch and sort of making us sort of well known to the people of Porter's Head, to thinking there is a club on their doorstep and sort of buy into it with us. That was all the aim, sort of loads of things do off the pitch, as well as on it. So it was sort of this year is going to be sort of that sort of steady period of trying to change everything off and on it.
Well, obviously, people interested in Western League football will know that your results have been outstanding, and of course you sit on top of the First Division. What they might not know is just how big your crowds have been. When I came to the game, a midweek game, when you played Wells City, there was over 270 people in the ground, which was fantastic for us on the night, because of course we were doing a bucket collection for Somerset Mind, and I'm very proud to say that we raised £111 that night. So thank you very much. On behalf of the Western League, to you and to everybody at Portishead, because it's a very important cause for us, and we were really pleased that it was something that you felt that, you know, that you wanted to support.
Yeah, it's amazing. That's amazing.
Now, normally we don't call out individual players on the podcast, but I guess it's impossible for us to have you as a guest without having a conversation about a particular striker. Who I can really only describe as the Erling Haaland of the Western League, Ethan Feltham. I think the club have made a statement this week, actually, because, of course, given the number of goals the guy's banged in, I guess most people were wondering sort of when he's going to be jumping ship. But that doesn't seem to be the case, does it, Kai?
No. The club, James Hughes, who directs of football, thought it would be a... Obviously, because of the publicity Ethan's been having, and rightly so, he's done wonders, and to be sort of in the top goal scorers of non-league, the club were obviously not naive enough to see that. So, and had a conversation with Ethan, and obviously agreed for the end of the season to be on his contract and agreement. So yeah, he's happy. The club are happy. I'm happy. haven't got to fight off anyone every week for him. Because, like you said, if he was scoring sort of 8 or 9, he'd go under the radar. But his sort of tally this season has been, so far has been amazing, and he deserves every credit for it. He works hard. He's an important member of the squad. No chip on the shoulder, works hard, and is getting the rewards.
Now let's get back to the football. You've got Keynsham on Saturday. Now they've had a difficult start to the season, but you can't take them lightly, can you?
No, we played them already away, and for the first 25 minutes they were excellent. They were by far the better side out of both of us. Technical side, young technical side. Played football the right way. They were excellent. It was only in the sort of second half that we sort of were the stronger and with our finishes, and our attacking players come to life. That sort of ended 4-1, but it was never a 4-1 result, and we won't be taking them lightly whatsoever.
I've got one last question for you, Kai, and it's a question I ask all the managers the very first time we get them on the Western League podcast. And I'd like you to tell us and tell the listeners a little bit about your footballing journey to the Portishead dugout.
If you've got that long, Ian.
Give it a go.
I played for Yates, Bridgewater, Bristol Manor Farm as a playing career, and then I joined John Rendell as a Poulton, and then I had a spell as manager of Bitton for sort of 5-6 months, and then, like I said earlier in the conversation, that I came back to Portishead and played a season, and then yeah, we are here now. I've missed out an awful lot of clubs, Ian, so I won't waste any more of the listeners' time.
Kai, thanks ever so much for taking the time to speak to us. Congratulations on your fantastic start to the season. Also, thanks, and I mean that very sincerely, for your support with our Somerset Mind campaign. And I look forward to catching up with you later in the season. And now, a message from our sponsors.
Whatever the job, with over 25,000 products in stock and ready to go, you can click, collect and conquer at Toolstation.
Now we'll move on to another all Toolstation affair between Helston Athletic and Street. Street have certainly had some very good results of late, but Helston Athletic had too much for them at the weekend, Tom.
Yeah, they're becoming the comeback kings, Helston. That's twice in a week now. So, as you say, Street are up to good stuff at the moment. And they found themselves two goals to the good. Phil Ormrod and Carl Strange putting them two up, as I say, within 25 minutes. So, they looked like they were on the way to knocking out the Premier Division leaders. But just as they did in the league last weekend, Helston, produced a pretty epic comeback. It was Jacob Smith scoring their first to sort of give them a foothold. And then from there, they seemed to suddenly turn on the jets and turned it round. Curtis Damorell and Ricky Shepherd scoring in quick succession to make it 3-2 midway through the second half. And then it was Reuben Wilson adding a fourth late on. So Helston eventually running out 4-2 winners at home to Street.
Now our next game pitted Wadebridge Town against Torpoint Athletic. Torpoint have been in good form in the Toolstation Western League of late. And that continued in the Vars, Tom.
Yeah, I think they're doing pretty well defensively at the moment. And that was proven again on the weekend, keeping a clean sheet away from home in the cups, good going. And it did keep the game tight. It was goalless for almost 75 minutes or so. And then it was Ryan Richard who stepped up to produce the moment of the booked Torpoint's passage through to the next round, rounding the keeper and then slotting home, as I say, about 15 minutes from time. And Torpoint managed to hold on and grab the 1-0 win away from home. So it's good going from them in the Vars.
It certainly was, and that was why I wanted to get hold of their manager, Dean Cardew. Great to get Dean back on the podcast, and we started off by reflecting on that game against Wadebridge Town. A 1-0 win in the Vars, you must be happy with that.
Yeah, thank you for having me on again. But the Vars is a nice break from the league, but it's also nice to sort of like see how far you can go. And it was a really, really tricky tie. So, yeah, to come away with a win was pleasing.
And Portland United at home in the next round. I mean, I don't know how much you know about Portland. I don't know much about them myself. But I guess you must have been just happy to get that home draw.
Yeah, I was actually. I remember years ago, the FA Vars was always, you wanted an away trip just for sort of like get a coach and go to these grounds that you've never been to. But being in the Western League now, we're doing that every other week pretty much. So it was nice to get a home draw, yeah, definitely.
And hopefully you get a decent crowd, puts a few quid behind the bar.
Yeah, it would be good. Yeah, it'd be nice if that can happen.
Now, in the league, your last game was against Oldland Abertonians, and that was another win, a 3-1 win. So were you happy with that performance?
Yeah, that was a really, really hard-fought win, to be honest. They've sort of like, looking at their form, we didn't know anything about them. They've just been promoted into the league, and you just look at results and things like that, which you can't read too much into, that we learned last season, because I actually said to the lads before the game, they could well be similar to the start we had last season, just been promoted, maybe struggling to adjust, but know the win's just around the corner. And I'll tell you what, it could have gone at 2-1. They were knocking on the door, and then we caught them on the break. So 3-1 sounds a little bit easier than what it was, because it was a really hard-fought win.
Well, your form so far this season has been good. You're up to third. I mean, do you think that's a fair reflection on how well you've started this campaign?
I think we've played a lot more. Well, not a lot more, but we've played a few games more than other sides. So obviously they got games in hand on us. But yeah, I mean, again, I can only really compare us to last season. The start we had was, I think it was October before we got a win. So the fact we got five now already, is quite pleasing. And we've been good for those wins as well. So, yeah, I would say it's a fair reflection.
I mean, I think acclimatising last season is entirely reasonable. But given that experience now, did you expect to start with as many wins as you've had?
You want to. I mean, we like you said, we acclimatised last season and you learn a bit more about the league. So when you do sort of like go into the summer and you make sign-ins and you train for it and you do all your pre-season, you hope that you are going to do better. I think expect is probably the wrong word, but we definitely were more prepared. And yeah, we wanted to pick up more wins, and that's what we've done.
And how does that feed through to your expectations for this season? I mean, have you got a target in mind?
Top half would be really nice. I think it was 12th we finished last season. So obviously, naturally, you want to do better than the season that you've previously had. But if we can get top half, I don't know, top maybe eight, that would be good.
So you're well ahead of schedule at the moment.
Yeah, we are. It's important to keep our feet on the ground because, like I said, it's every single win that we've had this season so far, we've had to work for it, and you can quite easily switch off. I think we won our first three, and then we went five games without winning. So it can quite easily swing the other way as well. So yeah, we've just got to make sure that while we're doing well, we keep picking up these points.
Yeah, I think that little blip was the back end of August, wasn't it? A couple of draws, and then you had defeats at Brixham and Ilfracombe. I mean, was there a particular reason for that?
Like I said, it's every game's just a difficult game, and it's such fine lines in all these games. The games that we've won, we could have dropped points in, and the games that we've lost, we possibly feel like we could have got something out of. I mean, home to Brixham, we were 1-0 up. We've hit the inside of the post to go 2-0 up. And if that goes in, I think it could be different. But they caught us. We went down to 9 men for 10 minutes and they scored 2 goals in that 10 minutes and, yeah, punished us. So it's just, like I said, it's just really difficult games every game, and it's those fine lines. It's about being good in both boxes.
So if we think of some of the sides, I know you haven't played everybody yet, but I mean, of the sides you have played, have any particularly impressed you?
Yeah, we couldn't get near Falmouth. The night we went to Falmouth midweek, and they sort of like passed us off the pitch and they beat us 2-0, and it was afterwards. I mean, we had a couple of chances early on, which again, if they go in, it's a different game. But over the 90 minutes, when you look back, you think we probably got away with only 2-0 because we couldn't really get near them. They were very, very good. We played Buckland twice in 4 days and they beat us 5-1 in the cup. We beat them 4-2 in the league, but they were very good both games as well. So I think that my pick at the moment has probably been Buckland and Falmouth.
Now you've got Saltash up next, and they're proving to be a real Jekyll and Hyde team. We never know which one we're going to get. I guess you're...
Yeah, they're sort of like, it's a lot of the old Millbrook players, so we're quite familiar with them. And that sometimes is a good thing, sometimes isn't, but they're a good side. I mean, on their day, they'll fancy beating anybody. Going to their ground on Saturday, they'll feel like if they can put a performance, they'll beat us and vice versa. So, like I said, it's all on the day.
I mean, you talked about the good run of form that you've been on, and I think you're right to be proud of, you know, of what you've achieved and where you are in the league. But as we get into the winter months and we build up to Christmas, you've got some... It's going to be a fascinating October for you, isn't it? I mean, you've got a trip to Bridgewater, then you entertain Barnstable, then it's Buckland in the Les Phillips Cup, then it's Clevedon who started well, Brixham then at the beginning of November, and of course they seem to have found their feet now in the Western League. So we're talking about, I mean, from a spectator's point of view, it's a really exciting time to be watching Torpoint Athletic.
Oh yeah, well that's good, I guess. I mean, it is, like you said, it is relentless, this league. Those fixtures that you've just mentioned, you just finish one and then straight into the next one, and it's going to be really tough. But that's what I want. I want to be testing myself all the time. And it's why you build up a squad, and that squad's going to be needed. Every single player will be needed over that period.
It's been an interesting start to this season. Many of the interviews I've done with managers have talked about the regulations, not just about on-the-field conduct towards match officials, but also timekeeping as well. Is that something that you've been able to sort of acclimatise well to? Do you think the fact that your good results have meant that actually your players have been able to focus on the job in hand?
Maybe. I mean, we've been on the wrong side of a couple of decisions that we've felt were a little bit harsh. The timekeeper, like sometimes, and don't get me wrong, time wasting, yeah, it's great to cut it out, but there's been some occasions where the guy's taken a throw in, he's not got an option, he turns to look where another option is, and all of a sudden he gets booked. I think sometimes you've just got to be, like, understand the game a little bit more. If somebody's blatantly time wasting, then yeah, obviously deal with that, but sometimes you've just got to recognise that actually he's just trying to find a pass. But yeah, I mean, you've got to accept, it's the same for everybody.
Yeah.
It's not just us. I mean, yeah, so we've been on the wrong end of some decisions, and we've had some decisions go for us against other teams. So yeah, I don't know whether it's a good thing or a bad thing still. Time will tell.
And my thanks to Dean for his time. And finally, our roundup of FA VAR's action concludes with Saltash United. They were away to Wendron United. 6 goals here, and Saltash came out on top.
Yeah, they did. Good stuff from the Ashes. 4-2 victory. And it was Kieran O'Malley who was the star of the show for them, really. He scored late in the first half to help Saltash move 2-1 up at the time after Tyler Love Holmes had cancelled out Wendron's early opener. So they had fallen behind in the opening stages, the Ashes. But yeah, come back to lead at the break. Josh Johnson then added a third. And despite then conceding another goal, so Wendron getting back into the game, O'Malley has set up and, forced a known goal, should I say. And that made it 4-2. And that was how it stayed. So yeah, Saltash winning 4-2 away at Wendron.
Now, if we have a look ahead to the fixtures on Saturday, the 30th of September, Tom, what game has caught your eye in the Premier Division?
Yeah, so back to league action, which is exciting. And we've got Helston, the comeback kings, hosting Barnstaple. I'm sure they'll be the home side will be hoping that they don't fall into a two-goal deficit this time around. But yeah, two sides Barnstaple themselves coming from behind to win in the Vars on the weekend. So confident going into this one, you'd have thought. And they've had pretty strong starts. Barnstaple still unbeaten, taking on tabletoppers. So I thought that would probably be the pick of the games.
And for my pick, I'm going to go for another Devon-Cornwall clash, this time between Buckland Athletic and Falmouth Town. Two very well-supported clubs. I'm sure there'll be an absolutely wonderful atmosphere at Buckland on Saturday, and I'm sure the game will be equally as competitive between two sides that I know aspire to be fighting things out at the top of the Premier Division table. Now we move into the First Division, Tom. What game has caught your eye there?
I've gone for Bitton versus Wells. So Wells a little bit further down the division. They're down in ninth, but yeah, they've had another good win in the Vars this weekend, and they'll take on the Bitton side who are up in third. So I think that'll be good going. And Wales is going to be under new management as well. So it'll be an interesting one to see how that goes, I think.
Yeah. Now I'm going to go for two of our league's form sides. Longwell Green Sports, their results have certainly picked up of late. And Odd Down, of course, your team, Tom. They've been going well as well. So it'll be interesting to see who comes out on top in this clash. Longwell Green entertaining Odd Down. Now, on the grounds that this week's episode of the podcast has been dominated by the FA Vars, we won't worry too much about the league tables. I think we'll do that next week. But we will conclude the podcast in the time-honoured fashion. Tom, of course, we have been reviewing your excellent bulletin. Where can the listeners find that?
Yeah, always good to remember where it is. And that's, I have to check myself, to be honest, but it's on the toolstationleague.com website. And that's on the homepage. If you scroll down a little bit, it's there for you. If you click on the bulletin, it'll open up. That's alongside us, the podcast and the league tables, and that will come out every week. So that's on the Toolstation League website.
Excellent stuff. Tom, thank you very much for your time. And I look forward to catching up with you on next week's Tool Station Western League Podcast.